So you had all travelled out on this pilgrimage out to this holy site, this cave that is sacred to Yig, in the countryside outside Bingham, Oklahoma. You spent the day travelling there under a hot sun, not taking any water or food. And while most of you were a bit worse for wear getting there, Spencer had been travelling on horseback and had not been avoiding food and drink because he wasn't following the pilgrimage himself. He was just accompanying you to keep everyone safe. And when he got there, he had a bad reaction. He started convulsing, black stuff started coming out of his mouth, and you pieced together that whatever was coming out of him bore an awful lot of resemblance to the creature you'd encountered in Bolivia. This black, gloopy thing that had just about torn a medical aid cap apart. And yeah, Bart had pieced together that this was also related somehow to Sarthogua. At the same time, Spencer was having visions connecting him once again to Rose Meadham, who had said something in the past about how she had saved him and was reminding him of this, but that his current trajectory towards this cave was imperiling it all, would probably kill him. And at the end of the conversation, she pretty much seemed to give him up as a lost cause. But the rest of you thought to drag him away from the cave, and he has at least recovered enough that he can breathe again, that the black goo has retreated inside his body, and you've spent a bit of time trying to decide what you're going to do about the situation, because you believe that this thing that is inside him is providing some kind of connection to the inner night, that Spencer is perhaps unwittingly a double agent now, and that this is a situation that needs to be dealt with. You've come up with a few possible solutions, from taking him back inside the cave and hoping it doesn't kill him, to setting him on fire. Neither of which Spencer seems very happy with. So we'd left it with Charles just having built a fire, everyone else talking about the cave, and Spencer, well, making some hard choices. And let's pick it up from there. So, you're all still gathered a few hundred yards away from the cave. The Reverend Cornfield is there with the rather transformed faithful, waiting around outside the cave to see what the rest of you are doing. Charles has built this pyre. The rest of you are discussing options. What is your plan?
So, can I roll a Cthulhu Mythos for this? What did you say his name was?
Sarthogua.
Sarthogua, okay. So, I'd like to at least try and roll for that.
Well, sure. What is it? I mean, you may not have to roll at this stage because you have read briefing packs on the history of the serpent people, their religious schism, and some stuff about the inner night and their relationship to Sarthogua. So if there are specific things that you would like to know, you don't necessarily have to roll for that. It depends what they are. What kinds of things
so
are you...
What do I know as a character about this this thing?
Well, you know that he is one of these ancient gods, these entities from beyond space and time, possibly from an alien world or an alien dimension, that has taken up residence on Earth, that he seems to be some kind of god of darkness. He's not necessarily that powerful a god. His power comes more, perhaps, in what he has inspired or even what the serpent people have chosen to do in his name. There is, perhaps, some hint in the documentation you've seen that you know, compared to Yig, he's a bit more hands-off, or you know, a bit more uninterested in what his followers are doing. You know, the only person you know of who's had any direct experience of him is actually Bart, who was swallowed by him.
Right, and Bart does seem very anti, you know, this guy, to get him out of me. And I've known Bart for a long time, and I kind of trust his opinion at this point. And I mean, if he says it's bad, then I mean, he's the local, like, well, occult ownership, I guess. His word is pretty high authority, so I think if he says that the best thing to do is probably go back into the cave to have this thing cast out of me as a sort of exorcism, then as much as I hate the idea, I'm just gonna cross my fingers and go with it.
So then, my friend, to the cave.
I look at the sand beneath my hands, and I look up towards the blue, hazy heat sky, and I look at him and say, to the cave then.
To the cave!
Should we start carrying you, or put you on the horse, or...
It's not very far. Jane, you come behind. Charles, just take his other arm, and I sort of take Spencer's arm and sort of like I'm going to support him underneath. So, you know, I've got my hand over his arm and my left hand over his arm, my right arm like hooked up under his shoulder, ready to...
Yeah, because I'm imagining we're going to have to carry him some other way at least.
I slip my hand into my shirt and pull out a little locket around my neck, and I'm just holding it in my hand as they pick me back up.
Charles is going to look at Bart behind Spencer's head and just mouth, "He's going to die, right, isn't he? He's going to die?"
Bart just sort of just shrugs his shoulders and does it. "I have no idea, look." I'm like,
"Come on, pal. We'll get you to the cave. We'll, like a band-aid. We'll do it quick. Come on."
"It'll be fine. It'll be fine.
Yig has got your back. Don't you worry."
Well, I'm assuming you're having this conversation as you're carrying him towards the cave. And the Reverend Cornfield sees you approaching and starts moving the other faithful in through the cave mouth. And they just wriggle and writhe through there. As the group of you approach, you... Well, for a start, Spencer starts convulsing again, and once again, this black ooze is trying to force its way out of his body any way it can, quite violently, and more violently the closer you get. The other thing you notice is as you get closer to the cave mouth, there is a wind that's picking up from somewhere. You can't tell exactly where. It seems to be coming from the cave mouth, but you can't see the dust from the actual mouth of the cave moving. But this wind is growing stronger and stronger as you're moving towards the cave mouth. There is dust blowing up in the air, small fragments of rock just flying past, you know, every now and then just giving you light lacerations. Now, it sounded like Ethan was walking separately from the rest of the group, though. Is that right?
Yeah, I'm walking. I'm trying to get to the Reverend and let him know that we need to make some preparations.
So what the rest of you also notice is that this wind is not affecting Ethan at all. Ethan's just walking straight up to the cave mouth along with everyone else. But the rest of you are moving through what is beginning to feel almost like maybe even a tornado or something building up around you. Just, you know, the winds are getting harder and harder just even to fight your way through.
Do I notice that Ethan's not being affected by this?
Yep.
Ethan, perhaps... What the devil? Ethan, come over here. Come closer. Come help us.
Yes, but one moment. What is going on?
You can just hear Bart's voice as you look back. Yeah, there is this huge wind that has just built up and is swirling all around them violently. He's having to shout through it just to make himself heard, and you're still dropping words every now and then. You can barely make them out in all the dust.
I'll run towards them and see if I can make it.
Yeah, and as you run towards them, just as you're getting towards them, suddenly, this almost fist of wind hits you in the back and sends you tumbling towards the others, just as you're, getting within yards of them.
So it pushes me away from them?
No, it pushes you into them.
Oh, okay. Whoa. So what the hell was that? Why is there this wind?
You're now caught up in this windstorm along with everyone else. Just, all this dust and stone fragments just cutting you up. Well, maybe not Ethan, because he has scales.
Jane just kind of shouts, like, we need to keep going! She's quite worried about what's happening to Spencer.
Yeah, Spencer is thrashing violently now.
But which way even is it? I can't see a bloody thing!
Do I have a bit of rope on me, I think? So I'm going to hand some rope, and I'm going to say, everyone grab onto the rope.
Okay.
And I'm going to separate myself from the group and try to push through when I was out in the calm, and I can guide them from there. Don't let go of the rope, whatever you do.
Okay, yeah, you tie the rope to Spencer, and... Yeah, as Ethan makes his way away from the others and back towards the cave mouth, almost immediately, as once you get a few yards away from them, the wind just stops and you're moving normally in fairly still air.
Start pulling. Can I call out to the others?
I thought you were going
to
say to
Yig. No.
Part the wind like Moses. Come on, Snake Moses.
Hashtag
I'm
Snake Moses.
Sure. I'm pretty sure that would kill me, but
I think we already had all the Snake Moses stuff in one of the earlier episodes, didn't we? With parting the Sea of Snakes.
So I'm going to call out to the Reverend and the townspeople, the resurrected townspeople.
They're all within the cave now.
Well, I'm going to pull as hard as I can to try and drag everyone through this situation to the cave mouth.
Okay. Yeah. It's going to be hard work getting Spencer in there. What I will say is, let's say that one of you can make a strength roll, and because there's a whole bunch of you helping out with this, that let's do it this way, because Ethan's helping as well. I basically, the four of you who aren't Spencer, add up your strength between you and let me know what the total is.
So I've got 40.
70.
80.
It's very appropriate that Jane is stronger than Bart.
Yeah, and what's Ethan? Because he's tugging on the rope.
70.
And so it was, what, 270s, a 40, and an 80. So that's 260, is that right?
Yeah.
Right. Okay, so who wants to roll against that and try to get an extreme success? on a 260.
Sure. I can manage that. I'm probably dragging you weaklings along. I got a 20 versus 260.
Yeah. Well, that would be an extreme success then. Okay, then, yeah, despite...
Punch the wind away.
Despite
you know, call this wind, this is wind.
Of course, that's perfect. Right next to Spencer's face when he's gurgling up black mud tar.
Jane regrets being at the back.
Oh, that's horrible, especially if the vortex is like, as you described it, sort of swirling around us and containing everything.
The vortex of farts.
Who farted in the vortex?
Come on. Oh, no.
But yeah, I mean, Spencer, you know, the closer you get, the worse this is getting. There's more and more of this stuff bubbling out of him. There's great gobbets of it now getting whipped away on the wind and just sizzling, breaking apart. And, you know, Spencer is getting limper and limper in your arms. It's like the fight's going out of him. And somehow, yeah, just through sheer force of strength, you manage to get him through the mouth of the cave. And as soon as you pass the threshold, the wind stops. You know, you just stumble forwards and just land in a heap as all the resistance just disappears in an instant. And there's the four of you, Mia, obviously, and Ethan at a distance with the rope, lying there in an untidy heap. There is more and more of this black stuff now just pouring out of Spencer and just sizzling on the ground, evaporating. You can hear it squealing like, you know, like hot liquid being dropped on a griddle pan. Well, maybe that's why it's screaming. But, yeah, at the same time, Spencer himself is very, very still.
Well, sort of looks at Charles. I always knew you were a Philistine. Well, at least if it's the first part of the plan is working, it does seem to be leaving him, but quickly, we must get him further in to try and resuscitate him.
Would we realise that the wind stopped as soon as as soon as Spencer went in? Or would we just think, oh, it's just because all of us are in now?
It stopped actually when Jane made her way over the threshold, not Spencer.
Ooh,
interesting.
But yeah, like I say, Spencer is lying very, very still on the ground. The cave itself, from what you can see so far, is a big open area, you know, the domed cave. It looks like it's probably natural, but at the same time, it also looks like it's been carved, or at least enhanced. You know, there's been some work done on turning this into more of an even structure inside. And yeah, there are carvings and cave paintings all over the walls that just dance around in the naked flames that have been lit there. They all seem to be of a serpentine form, done by, you know, obviously different people, you know, different cultures maybe, even just, you know, the style of them seems to be quite radically different. And they just, in the dancing firelight, they just look like they're slithering all over the walls. There are the faithful who are gathered round. You can see Reverend Cornfield at the far side of what looks like maybe a stone altar or a slab, and there is definitely a body lying on it that you can't quite make out in the firelight. But your more immediate problem, like I say, is that Spencer is not breathing. He seems to be very still. Yeah, as you're looking at him, yeah, no one can even find a pulse.
Okay, so everyone grab an arm and a leg, go over this way. We're going to go over to the Reverend, and I'm going to rush over to the Reverend, and I'm also, before I open my mouth, I'm going to take a closer look at who's on this altar or this body laying down there.
Okay, yeah, as you're dragging the unconscious form of Spencer over there, you can see that the figure lying on the altar is the naked form of the Reverend Cornfield.
Then I thought the Reverend Cornfield was...
Yeah, he's standing over it. He's standing over it, looking down at it at the moment.
Reverend, my friend, he stopped breathing. Is it possible in this place we could try and resurrect him?
This is a place of rebirth. What? I suppose... You think he's been cleansed now? I overheard what he was saying before about him having been touched by darkness. Do you think Yig has driven the demons out from him?
That's exactly what... I think the demons were responsible for keeping him alive. And this was... Now it's escaped him. We need to bring him back.
Then maybe... Oh... Is this the sacrifice you would ask of me, Father? He says, looking up at the dancing shadows around, at the slithering shapes on the walls. And yes, yes. Then we shall do for your friend what the Father of Serpents did for me. And with that, he leans over and just grabs his dead body, or what appears to be his dead body, off the altar, and just fairly unceremoniously just rolls it off, and it lands with a thud in the dirt beside. And he says, unclothe your friend and put his body on the altar.
So we derobe Spencer and place him on the altar very nicely.
Jesus, look at the size of his gun.
I believe this was a gift from his German friend.
Bart just looks at his left cheek. Mom. Oh dear.
And yeah, you place, with the Reverend's guidance, you place his body down there on the altar. There are all these sort of misshapen serpent things there in the shadows all round, just hissing and moaning. The shapes are writhing all round in the wall. It smells like the reptile house in the zoo in here. The air is thick with smoke. And Spencer's body just lies there, now naked, on the altar. The Reverend is there, kneeling beside him, just praying in Nakao. You can, with the bits of Nakao, you can tell this is some kind of prayer to Yig. And then Spencer's body starts convulsing. The Reverend looks up at all of you and says, this next bit may be a bit strange. And you can see something reaching out from between Spencer's legs. There's a wet ripping sound as his crotch tears open, and this bloody moist hand reaches out. And
the miracle
then,
of birth.
Dear God, then, it's a reverse hand job.
Then a moment later, another one does. And somehow, impossibly, you can see this figure pulling itself out, birthing itself from between the ruined remains of whatever was between Spencer's legs. As he births himself, you can see the fully formed shape of Spencer crawling out from his new cloaca, dragging itself across the ground in this pool of filth and afterbirth. Should we have sand rolls off everyone?
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. It was brilliant. My God.
So cool.
Yig is really the best.
That's even cooler than twins.
Dear God, I thought I would be spared from this moment.
I'm going to ask for sand rolls off everyone other than Ethan, who just seems to be so into it that I can't see any reason why this would be a sand roll for him.
I Bart rolled a 16. He's fine. Totally disgusted and, cursing the conjoined, twisted stars that, brought him to this vision of something he thought his very nature...
If I rolled a 16, I would be failing.
Well.
Charles passes with a 17.
Okay, how about Jane?
I rolled a 75 and I have a sanity of 53.
Okay, so let's roll for your sand loss. Jane is possibly the only person in the room reacting appropriately.
She has an ingrained fear of childbirth, which Camille also has, so...
So appropriately, then, you lose 6 points of sand. Let's have an intelligence roll.
I am quite intelligent, so hopefully... I don't know. Right, so what was my intelligence?
You want to fail your intelligence test.
Yeah,
do
you don't want to understand this.
Basically, you want to be too stupid to understand what's going on. Understanding what's going on is bad.
Okay, I have an intelligence of 75, and I rolled a 78.
Yay! Woo! Okay, so...
That was a close one.
So the full repercussions of this don't hit you, so you manage to avoid that bout of madness.
I almost understand, and then I just go, nope, and just yeet it out of my brain.
Yep.
Bye!
Yeet.
Yeet.
Yeah.
There is a perfectly logical explanation for all this, which you can probably sort out later.
And I don't want to ever know it.
But yeah, as far as Spencer's concerned, yeah, you are there, lying on the ground of this cavern, gasping for breath. Just yeah,
what might like a newborn baby, like
re-roll sanity checks.
No, you. Okay.
I think he's adorable.
Reminds
Can I keep him?
A thing in Lovecraft Country, but I'm not going to say what. No spoilers.
You have all your memories. You, as far as you're concerned, you're still the same person. I mean, existentially, whether or not you are, well, that's something you may have to grapple with later. The only physical difference, I guess, is that any scars and tattoos and so on that you may have had aren't there on your new form. They're just there on the corpse that you have left sitting on the altar. And I think as you look up and see, you know, all these sort of scaled pale forms chanting and you know, ecstatically hissing around your corpse as it lies on an altar, and you know, as you can just see the, you know, the trail that you have left coming out of it. I think that's a good time for a sand roll.
Me?
Yes.
I roll a 71.
Against your sand of?
30.
Oh, shit.
Well.
Okay, this could be quite bad. You lose. Oh, fucking hell. I've rolled a D8 sand loss and you lost one.
I can live
with
that.
You're like, Yig is really great.
So he's being typically Spencer.
Just what?
Like, just one.
Just smart enough to like do everything he needs to do, but just dumb enough to avoid everything that is going to really affect it.
It's like you could leisurely walk up to Cthulhu, chokeslam him, and give him the people's elbow, and then walk away, and only lose like one sand.
Bart just walks up to the reborn Spencer, takes a swig on his hip flask. Well, if I'm reading this situation correctly, you've got a new liver now. Drink.
So, what does Spencer's corpse look like? Is it literally just like a weird skin suit, or does it look?
It looks
whole again, or?
It looks entirely whole. The only difference is that now, you know, between his legs there is what appears to be a very reptilian cloaca.
On the dead Spencer.
Yeah.
Every day's a school day.
Spencer, was that, or was it like that when we stripped him?
No, that seems to be a byproduct of him having just forced himself out from between his legs.
Okay, and his current equipment is standard issue?
I assume Bart's giving it a thorough check over. Yes.
Well,
it is as you
know. Now turn your head to the left and cough.
No. Spencer's kind of like very sort of shocked and in disbelief and can't really comprehend what's going on. All he knows is that he's very cold. He's standing there naked in a room full of like 50 strangers or whatever.
Yeah, Jane just starts sort of gathering his clothes. It's like, oh, for God's sake, put your clothes back on. Glad you're here.
I kind of grabbed them and I'm like,
Jane seems the least fussed about being naked, by the way. She just couldn't give a shit if she's right.
Thanks.
In the grand scheme of things, Yig's all right. You know what I'm saying?
You sound like a Christian preacher trying to be down with the kids. Like, hey there.
Yeah, yeah.
Yig's pretty saying. Cool.
I've heard of born again Christians, but this is ridiculous.
Born again Yiggians?
It's all right, Spencer. There's no scales involved, no nothing. You're just you again.
And when he says that, I just put my hands on my face and just check my face and, you know, check my hands and my arms and make sure that everything is as it should be.
Praise Yig.
Praise Yig, says Reverend Cornfield.
Was there no more contact with Rose Meadham while you were passed out the second time?
I've heard nothing. I don't know. And I just kind of like hurriedly start like suiting and booting again.
Oh, don't be worried about being naked in a crowd. You get used to it. Trust me.
Your horse is probably still outside. There was a lot of wind. I don't know what's going on out there.
But perhaps, Spencer, more importantly, how do you feel? I think we can skip over this, somewhat unnerved by, well, the sight of your own corpse.
Yeah, I look back at that.
Takes a swig.
Definitely takes a swig of the alcohol. Is there a role I can do for this, or
you've already done your sand roll?
Yeah, I mean, how do I feel? I guess I'm fine.
Well, I'll leave that up to you.
So I guess my skin feels a bit tight. I don't know, really. It's an odd sensation, but I guess I'm all here.
I can agree with it. Everything is tight and firm and where it should be.
The Reverend Cornfield lays a hand on Spencer's shoulder and says, yes, it is a strange process, but you get used to it. Life goes on.
Do you now? I just kind of like put my hand on top of his on my shoulder and just pat it like, thanks for not letting me die, I guess.
Well, that was Yig's boon, not mine. And I shall have to pray later, he says, looking at his own corpse lying down beside the stone slab. I shall have to pray later and see what guidance he offers, whether this means that you are now his chosen one, or whether he's still, he and I still. Anyway, that's something for me to worry about later.
Reverend, just quite how many times have you been reborn?
Only twice. The first time, when I came out here to this cave, I came out here. I had a crisis of faith many months ago, and I came out here to the wilderness, emulating Jesus, I suppose. Heading out into the wilderness for 40 days and 40 nights. But the experience was more than my frail body could bear, and by the time I made it out to this site here, I suppose I must have died. but Yig, in his infinite wisdom and mercy, saw it upon himself to bring me back as his instrument. I didn't know whether this was just a singular occurrence, but then last night, or yesterday, when whoever it was, I assume, killed me, shot me, I don't really remember what happened, but I woke up here again and made my way back to town.
Bart looks around a bit more carefully at the location. apart from the carvings and the altar, is there anything that sort of jumps out to me about this location?
Not really, no.
Well, I know we've gotten somewhat, as he sort of looks over at Spencer as he's hurriedly dressing, off track from our original purpose, but I suppose we should finish the pilgrimage.
Yes,
the rituals.
Well, the pilgrimage is, at least I think, completed for a great many of you. The fact that Yig has allowed you into this cave, there are a great many who he finds wanting who the winds prevent them from ever even entering the cave, but you are clearly worthy. You've made your way inside. But yes, there's the small matter of the others, he says, looking around at the pale, twisted forms writhing on the ground. Perhaps the rest of you would join me in a prayer to Yig, asking for his mercy here?
Absolutely, Reverend. Absolutely.
Can I look at the altar a little bit more closely? Sort of inspect it.
Yeah, it just seems to be a fairly plain block of maybe slate.
Rough-hewn? Intricately carved?
No, very rough-hewn. Okay. It is just a rock slab.
Well, don't let me keep you from my prayers. I'll just be meditating over here in the corner.
Okay. Is everyone else joining in this ritual, or is anyone sitting apart from the whole thing?
Hard pass.
Jane's retaining some scrap of impartiality.
I've never really been one for religion, but considering what's happened here today, I'm kind of like looking like I'm playing along and just observing everyone as we, I guess, kind of kneel.
I'm just going to point it out, this is the second time you've all witnessed the reality of a god actually exercising their power.
I think what you're missing, Ethan, is we've witnessed the reality of a god, not the god. At least this is very much how Bart looks at it. A god. It's very different from the Judeo, just because there's...
No, I understand why Bart wouldn't react in that way.
Yeah.
I'm just saying I don't fully buy how everyone else reacts necessarily. There's a bit of skepticism, but if I actually saw a miracle... I'd be skeptical, but I'd be a bit like, wait a minute, what?
Yeah, I think Jane believes that this is happening. It's not that she doesn't believe in it. It's just she doesn't want to go anywhere near it for as much as she possibly can, because she just feels like some really bad shit is going to happen.
So is it just Ethan who's going to take part in the prayers?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, if Charles joins in again, he's probably going to end up turning more into a snake.
Okay, well,
and my intent while meditating, sorry, just I don't know when this works into the story.
Sure, yeah.
My intent while meditating is I'm trying to contact Tyrannish to sort of give her an update and she can shine a little light on what the hell has just happened.
Sure, okay, well, we'll come back to that later, possibly in a later episode, depending on how we're doing for time. Then, yeah, The Reverend Cornfield and Ethan, well, the Reverend Cornfield leads the prayers. Again, this is in Nakal. And you understand enough Nakal now to realize that he's asking for the power of Yig to bring some kind of peace to his followers here. That, you know, while they have been spared the horrors of death, you know, their current state is frightening to them. And, you know, he calls upon Yig to, you know, to bestow his mercy upon them.
So basically he's saying they're ugly. It's kind of rude.
No, he's saying that they think that they are ugly.
I think you're beautiful, but I assume you think you're terrible.
Well, Kane also thinks
they're incredibly ugly, so...
Well, what the rest of you see is that there in the flickering firelight, their forms do start twisting and changing. And one by one, you can see them just dropping down onto the ground and writhing there. And, you know, as the minutes pass, you know, the air is filled with the sound of hissing and slithering. And by the time the prayer is over, you can just see this sort of writhing mass of rattlesnakes there on the ground at the end.
That's not what I was expecting.
The Reverend Cornfield looks quite taken aback by all this. You can see that there's just shock in his face. And he turns to Ethan and says, I thought their true forms would be more like yours. But who are we to doubt the...
Not everyone would be as blessed as I.
Yes. And who are we to doubt the wisdom of Yig, he says, though you can hear the doubt exactly. In his voice. He looks really quite pale as he's just turning away from this rising mass of snakes.
At least they're not dead, Reverend.
Yes, yes. And they are his children now. I suppose the pilgrimage is over.
He will watch over them.
Yes.
So this is where I, like, turn away, and I'm going to just go over to Charles and whisper, so I'm not so sure about Yig anymore.
and I think that is actually a really good point to end this episode.
Fantastic. Thank you again for playing, and thank you so much for ending it like that, Curran, because I was about to get really worried about your character. And thank you everyone at home for listening. I hope you've enjoyed our interlude back into Oklahoma. My name is Joe Tree. If you want to find more of me, you can find me on the Harry World Discord. You can find me on Twitter at HWR Podcast. You can find us podcast Facebook page, the Reddit page. And you can contact us directly at harrywoodpodcast@gmail.com. We're expecting some Oompa Loompa songs along as soon as possible. And there have actually been some amazing ones.
Already
on
got one.
Already.
Oh, God.
yeah, you've got to check this out, Scott. Hang on. Let me see if I can find
it. Should I just read one of them? We promised they'd be on the podcast. Should I just read at least the long
one?
Yeah,
please do. Yeah.
Oompa Loompa Doopa Dee Dee. I have another shocker for thee. When your sanity's sitting at 3, if you are wise, you'd listen to me. What do you do when you find that old book? Perhaps walk on by, no need to give it a look. You know Greg is hungry and has quite a short fuse. There's no roll you can make where you don't lose. Don't know how to fit the last one. And we missed conference room 12.
That's beautiful.
You've got to give credit to your friend Nate.
Oh, that was brilliant.
On our Discord. There's been some absolutely amazing ones on the Discord. So, yeah, definitely check it out. It's pretty cool. Yeah, so big thanks to Greshnak, Dasquire, He's done a few others. Brownie's done one. There's some really cool ones. Corny Sam's has done one as well. Yeah, thank you so much.
I'll have to get stuck into those after we finished recording.
Great fun. Okay, so Dave, again, thank you again for playing and for inspiring our Discord to sing to us as Impalumpers. How can people find more of you?
On our Discord, pretty much exclusively. Now that we've switched all our planning to Discord, I am literally on no other social media. But we're a good group. Come check us out. It's a sanity-preserving environment, is what I'll say.
It's a very, very cool place. Very cool place. Curran, again, thank you for that. And thank you for that amazing ending. How are you doing? And how can people find more of your stuff?
I'm doing good, Joe. if anyone wants to find me, they can find me on the How We Roll Discord, as was previously mentioned. Or you can find me on Twitter at Curran_J. That's KURAN_J. Or you can find me on twitch.tv/KURANJ, which is, I stream every Monday and Friday. I just play random games and hang out with people. That's it.
Cool. Aaron, again, I'm so glad that Spencer survived. I'm sure there'll be no consequences for this. To have brand new sheet, brand new Spencer.
Right?
Like I said, but, brand new liver.
Does he have a belly button?
Ooh. Yeah. No. No, he doesn't.
Gross.
I'm going to say yes. I might have a tattoo.
Belly button tattooed on there.
Draw it on with biro.
It's going to have a tramp stamp, is it? Is that what they call it? No.
You don't want a belly button above your ass. That's not
going to Yeah, no, that might be a bit weird.
You came out wrong.
No.
That's not a belly button. That's an auxiliary anus if it's there.
It's an auxiliary.
Auxiliary anus.
Now there's a band name waiting to happen.
I'm sorry, I hijacked that, Aaron. Do you have anything you'd like to share other than your new belly button?
No, I mean, you can just, you know, come check me out on the Discord. But other than that, no, not at all. You go ahead, Joe. It's fine.
Yeah, I live to be honest. Camille, how can people find more of your stuff? And again, thank you for joining us.
Hello, thank you very much. I am on the Discord. I can post very occasionally. And you can also follow me on Twitter at Camille Brouard.
So, Scott, thank you again for joining us. Is there anything you'd like to share? Where can people find more of your work?
Yes, if people are looking for more of my work, they can look at blasphemoustomes.com, which is the home of the good friends of Jackson Elias.
And do you have a belly button?
I do. I do.
Is it an auxiliary one?
At least that's what he tells us.
I feel like I should sprout a few more just to be safe. But yes, take a look at blasphemoustomes.com, the home of the Good Friends of Jackson Elias podcast, wherein we talk about Call of Cthulhu horror films, weird fiction, and we even have an episode on the two-headed serpent and how we developed the whole thing. So if you're interested in learning more about it, yeah, there you go.